When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Second to None podcast on the Believe Podcast Network and the 365 Sports YouTube channel. I am co-host Blaine Gilmer with my fellow co-host Tavares King. And Tavares, you in some sweet digs there today.
Yeah, different little spot. I'm in No'Shawn's house. My office for work is actually located in Denver, the main office. So I came out here to show my face a little bit. And when I come out here, I always stay with my good buddy No'Shawn Marino. So appreciate him allowing me to use his office.
No doubt. So if you're watching on the 365 YouTube channel, you can see the Georgia memorabilia in the background, and Georgia playing UAB this week. But TK, it is a lock-in Friday here on the Second and None podcast. We have our Reaction Mondays. We have our What's the Spread Wednesdays, and then Lock-In Fridays, where we are going to lock in our picks and tell everybody who they should expect to win these games on Saturday. And TK, we kind of start getting into our analysis a little bit on Wednesdays there. We start just giving a little tease of it. But now we've got to research these a little bit more in depth. They gave you some players that I wanted you to kind of give your player perspective on and stuff like that. And, excited to dive in a little bit deeper here on this Lock-In Friday.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Me too, man. I appreciate the homework. I got to dive in on a few players and get the scoop on them. So yeah, man.
As a former receiver, I give you two receivers for Kentucky there that are big-time playmakers that I know you're going to have fun breaking down when we get to them a little bit later.
Yeah, they were fun to watch, man, both of those cats. Wandale Robinson is electric, so I can't wait to, talk about him a little bit.
No doubt. And speaking of electric, guys, football season in general is electric. And if you want to make it even more, just a little bit more exciting, you can go over to Bet Online. It's that time of the year. In fact, right behind me as we're recording this, the Buccaneers and Cowboys are about to kick off the NFL season. You're listening to this on a Friday morning, but we're recording on a Thursday night right here. And guys, it's that time of the year and all eyes are on the football gridiron. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for the all-pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest, now open at BetOnline. So head on over to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and get 100% welcome bonus. So whatever you put in, they're going to match it up over top of it with a welcome bonus. Bet online, it's the fastest and easiest way for all your sport bet favorites. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And as always, we appreciate Bet Online for being sponsor of the show. Now, TK, we had our game of the week here is the Texas Longhorns coming to Fayetteville, Arkansas, in an old Southwest Conference matchup that's now going to be a future SEC rivalry. And who better to help us kind of break things down? We like to have a guest on Fridays, TK. We're working on some guests for some people. I know you got some special ones that you're working on coming up, but wanted to bring in a Arkansas expert, if you will, and that is none other than Mr. Kyle Sutherland, who is host of the Hog Talk podcast. They do a fantastic job. Anything and everything you could ever want covered in terms of Arkansas, Kyle Sutherland is the guy to do it. So without further ado, we're going to bring you a interview that we recorded with Mr. Kyle Sutherland. And now on the Second to None podcast, we have a special guest that covers all things Arkansas. It's Mr. Kyle Sutherland on from the Hog Talk podcast. And Kyle, welcome to Second to None. I've talked to you before, kind of chopped it up with you about Arkansas and things like that, but so excited to be talking to you with this marquee matchup that's coming up here with Texas and Arkansas.
Definitely, Blaine. It's good to talk with you again, and hopefully look a little better against Texas than we did against Rice, but going to be a tough matchup nonetheless.
Texas, you know, I think if everybody had been quite honest with themselves coming into the year, everybody thought that Arkansas would have been, you know, well positioned in this matchup. And I still think they are in terms of it being at home and things of that nature. But Texas did look maybe better than expected in Sark's first game there against a good UL team. Arkansas had some things go wrong early, you know, a linebacker get kicked out of the game for targeting, Bumper Pool gets kicked out late. He'll have to sit out the first half of this Texas contest, but just talk to us about what's the vibe, you know, covering Arkansas on a daily basis in terms of what's everybody feeling, fan base, coaching staff, how's it looking going into this Texas matchup?
Well, I think the fan base is beyond excited, not just because it's Texas and it's a team that we Arkansans love to hate. I personally don't really have a whole lot against them, mainly because they joined the SEC, or Arkansas joined the SEC and left the Southwest Conference when I was like a year old. So I don't really remember a lot of that rivalry. I hear a lot about it, of course, but this is the first sellout that we're going to have since early 2017. So pretty much 4 years ago to the day, since it was like week two or week three against TCU at that time. And so it's going to be an incredible environment. Like I said, about 80,000 people in DW Reynolds Stadium, but we didn't look very good, at least in the first half against Rice. And that's expected in your first game. There were plenty of teams that lost last week that shouldn't have, and plenty of teams that had to come back. Just thinking of Mississippi State, for instance, you know, there at the end of the third quarter being down 35-14 and then came back and won, or 34-14, I guess it was, then won 35-34. And so you're going to look bad sometimes in your first game. And KJ Jefferson did look a little shaky, but you think about four drops that his receivers had. If those would have been caught, he would have had like around a 75% completion percentage. And another thing is special teams. You know, I know you being a Georgia fan, you're very familiar with Scott Fountain, and he just hasn't really done a great job in his tenure here. Last year, a lot of people gave him some leniency because he had a lot of walk-ons playing, you know, guys that were fourth, fifth, sixth stringers, I guess, even that low. And so, but then last week, you had a fumble on the opening kickoff from Ladarius Bishop, and then you also had a punt blocked, which just should not happen under really many circumstances at all. So special teams is really concerning, and you got to cut down on the penalties. We had 13 against Rice. So I think if you cut those penalties in half and you don't make the special teams mistakes that we saw, it's going to put Arkansas in a really good position. I mean, if they don't win it, to at least compete until the very end.
And when you have a team like Texas that has a quarterback that's just now kind of getting his feet wet there with Hudson Card, but still he has weapons out there. He's got Jordan Whittingham that had over 100 yards receiving in his first game. Bijan Robinson, who is unbelievable out of the backfield, you know, both as a receiver and a runner. Really, you need everybody there in terms of being able to prepare for not only Sark's scheme, but also the physicality and the playmaking ability that their players have. And Bumper Pool not being there for that first half of the game, how is Arkansas going to be able to, you know, who's going to step up and replace Bumper Pool in that situation to kind of help lead the defense? And what can the offense do to kind of alleviate some of these issues early on?
Well, it's definitely going to hurt losing Bumper. You know, he's a native Texan, so you know he hates to – he at least gets to play in the second half, but you know that he definitely hates to miss the first half. It's kind of interesting. I guess I would say funny, but I guess funny is not the appropriate word. But we lost Hayden Henry. There's so many Henrys that have played at Arkansas. I forgot which name it was. Hayden Henry was lost due to a targeting call in the second half against Alabama last year. Mm-hmm. And then so he didn't play in the first half. Grant Morgan gets ejected on the sixth play against Rice. So he'll get to play this game, you know, assuming that he doesn't get another one of those. And then, of course, like you said, Bumper's going to be out. So we've lost all three of our linebackers in some capacity, dating back to even last year, all three of our main ones. And so they're definitely, you know, Sark is an offensive genius, and so he's certainly going to try to capitalize on that. But you talk about Hudson Card, you know, it's not going to be easy for a – regardless of the talent or lack thereof that a certain team might have. You know, I definitely think that Arkansas is in way better position even than they were last year. They had a pretty good defense, but now that we have defensive line depth, that's going to really help a lot. But the fact that you're going into an environment like a fully packed D.W. Reynolds Stadium in that kind of environment, I definitely think you're crazy if you don't think that it's going to be tough on him. But then you've got a guy like Bijan Robinson that's one of the top backs, maybe the top back in the Big 12 and one of the better in the country. And then going back to special teams for Texas, I think it's Deshaun Jamison that is their kick and punt returner. He's got one punt return career touchdown, and then he's got two kick returns in his career. And so that's another thing that really scares me, because he can really fly. And going back to that whole thing I was mentioning about special teams, we just haven't really done in the 11 games that Sam Pittman has coached at Arkansas, just haven't really been consistent, particularly on our kick and punt coverage. And so that's going to be another thing to look out for. And as you know, that's something that can really change the tide of a game, change the momentum, is a big special teams play.
Yeah. And, you know, when you have, you know, people missing on defense and you have a electrifying offense and in terms of at least scheme and, you know, what we've seen early on, knowing the player that Bijan Robinson is, it helps to, you know, keep the ball away from the other team, be able to grind some things out. Sam Pittman is definitely known for having that in his DNA, you know, some of those rushing offenses that they had at the University of Georgia under him. They were able to basically run the ball when they wanted to with that offensive line that he was able to recruit in there. KJ Jefferson, you know, really is someone who is as talented of a runner as maybe anyone in the SEC when you put it down to it, in terms of what he can do with the football in his hands. Do you think that Sam Pittman and company feel comfortable running him more than, you know, 10, 15 times if they have to, with design runs and scrambles both taken into account? And, you know, do they feel comfortable enough in guys like Malik Hornsby behind him to be able to do that? Because, you know, when you run, it comes at a price in the SEC.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because we were wondering if we were going to see Malik last week, especially at halftime. The way that Sam was talking, he was very disappointed and very rightfully so with the first half performance, but we didn't see Malik. And you would think that they're going to put that. So that's one question that I've gotten a lot over the offseason, was what kind of role would Malik play? And I never thought that it was going to be a two quarterback system. I thought KJ had done enough, particularly in the Missouri game last year, to be QB1 for the Rice game. But you certainly thought that there was going to be some packages in there. And maybe will we see that this week? I would certainly think that we should, you know, maybe for at least a couple of plays if the situation is right. But he would have had over 100 yards rushing easily had that not. I think it was like a 49-yard run that he had. He had a 34-yard touchdown the first one of the game. And then he had like around a pretty close to a 50-yard run, maybe a little over. I can't remember the exact yardage, but it was called back on a holding call that I didn't necessarily agree with. But, you know, I'm not an official. But I definitely think you got to keep him involved in the run game. Traylon Smith is obviously a very reliable back. He showed that last year, and he had over 100 yards last week. And then continue to get the true freshman Rocket Sanders involved. He only had two carries in the first half, and then I think had around five or six in the second. But definitely want to try to get him going more. I know that since he was just playing high school ball last year and was that running back receiver, was more of an athlete, ball security probably is a question with him right now, but he's got all the talent in the world. And so I'd like to see Rocket get a little bit more involved. And then, like I said, definitely even see KJ. If KJ has to run it 10 times for us to win the ball game, let's do it. He's got the frame and he's got the speed.
This feels like a game that if, you know, KJ Jefferson and Traylon, I almost want to call it the law firm of Traylon and Jefferson, you know, something like that. That sounds really good. But in terms of this Arkansas offense, if they're able to, you know, produce enough early and have enough time of possession to kind of keep the Sark run offense, you know, on its heels a little bit, No special teams mistakes, as you've mentioned, would be key. But this feels like a game with that home field crowd there in the fourth quarter. If it's close, that could really make a huge difference, especially with Hudson Card being a young starter for Texas, being there in that environment. And let's face it, this is going to be the fans will feel this because, like you said, they harken back to the days of the Southwestern Conference, and now it's going to be a future SEC rivalry. Just how big do you think the atmosphere will be to the outcome of this game?
Oh, there's no question that that's going to be huge. Just like we said, with Hudson Card being, you know, a young guy, it's hard for any quarterback. Even Greg McElroy, a national championship quarterback for Alabama, said that the toughest environment he ever played in was about 10, 11 years ago in Fayetteville. And so, and I know that there's other, you know, other stadiums that would definitely have something to say about that, other quarterbacks that have something to say about that. But one thing, Blaine, that I think is going to be a massive key is we've got, like I mentioned a second ago, we've got a lot more depth on the defensive line, and we lost Dorian Gerald as of Wednesday. He broke his leg in practice. You just really hate it for him. This is the third year in a row that he's had a pretty much season-ending injury with one or two games into the season. And like I said, he broke his leg, and so that's a real tough break there. But and then you've got John Ridgeway coming back. He's the transfer from Illinois State. He was out last week due to an appendectomy, but he's going to be back this week, so that's going to be key. But if we can get a pass rush with that depth and with the talent that we do have on the defensive line, I trust guys like Jalen Catalan, Monteric Brown, Greg Brooks to force – and again, if the defensive line can force Hudson to make some mistakes, those defensive backs are going to take advantage of it. I heard Roman Harper say that Jalen Catalan is the best defensive back in the country. I don't know. I would definitely say he's the best safety in the country. I have not done enough of my homework across all of college football to say that he's the best overall defensive back, but I would certainly venture to say that he is the best safety. And he's just got that combination of smart. Sometimes they say that, especially on defense, that it's not always your most talented player that's your best one. It's your smartest. Well, Jalen has that combination of intelligence and talent to go with it. And so I definitely think that if this defensive line can get a pretty consistent pass rush on Hudson Card, that this secondary will definitely make him pay.
Jalen Catalan and Derek Stingley Jr., in my opinion, have to be right up there, like you said, for two of the best defensive backs in all of college football. So you know that the ball hawking safety that Catalan is will definitely be hoping that crowd rattles Hudson Card a little bit, throws just a little bit off, and Arkansas be, you know, more than willing to take advantage of a mistake there. But definitely looking forward to this matchup. Kyle, we appreciate you coming on the Second to None podcast. Tell everybody, you know, where they can find the Hog Talk podcast if they haven't already, and what you guys have coming up.
Yeah, so we're on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're most active on Facebook and Twitter, but it's at the Hog Talk, H-A-W-G. Across all social media. And so, we do a bunch of baseball stuff. Our baseball analyst, Kevin Bohannon, I think is the best you'll find in Arkansas in terms of cover. You know, we've definitely picked up our most of our media across the state has done a pretty good job of covering it because we've had a successful baseball team over the last 10 plus years or so. But I don't think that you're going to find anybody better than Kevin. And then also Porter Hayes is we cover a lot of the women's athletics too, because Arkansas has been very fortunate to be pretty successful in softball, volleyball, women's basketball, those. And then myself, I kind of do just a variety of things. I'm mainly the podcast coordinator, but we do Monday and Friday weekly shows. And usually on Fridays, we have a analyst from the team that we're playing kind of preview the game for Saturday. And then on our Monday show, we usually recap the game. And then we also I cover high school football in Arkansas as well. And so we do about a high school recap typically for our Monday shows. So, those drop every Monday and Friday at 6 a.m. wherever you find your podcast. And we also have our shows run on 106.7 The Buzz 2, the state's one of the state's largest platforms there. And so, a lot of big things, man. We've definitely grown over the last year. This is, I guess, our third year covering the Razorbacks into football season. And so very thankful and fortunate to be where we're at.
It's fantastic stuff over on the Hog Talk podcast. Thank you to Kyle Sutherland. Kyle, we'll catch you next time And, you know, thank everybody for watching here on this interview with Kyle Sutherland from the Hog Talk Podcast on Second to None. So we appreciate Mr. Kyle Sutherland coming on and spending some time with us to talk about this big time matchup in Fayetteville, where TK, to me, it feels like the Hogs have a chance here with Sam Pittman being second year at the helm to really seize some momentum in this program after kind of a up and down first year, COVID, all that kind of stuff. But they did better in a lot of games than people expected. And now with a real chance to make a national statement.
Yeah, man, I agree. I think that with the atmosphere that's going to be in that stadium, they got fans in that stadium now. It's going to be pig suey crazy in there. And I think that a big reason for that is KJ Jefferson. KJ Jefferson, with just his fourth start, had a big game and has a big game in front of him. Last week, I think our guy alluded to it. He would have had some better numbers had guys not dropped passes, but I think KJ Jefferson's special. I think Sam Pittman's looking for him to be a little bit more, accurate on his intermediate throws, but his receivers have to help him out there as well. But early on, those are things that happen. You do have drops early on, and you do those are jitters. Those are first game jitters. But hopefully, those are out of the way, and his receivers can help him have a big day.
And guys, when we say hopefully here, TK is saying, we make no bones about it. We want the SEC to come out on top on these matchups. Now we're rooting for the SEC team. Now TK may not root for Florida. I don't know. We'll have to see what ends up coming with all that. But that's a little bit different there. Now TK, one note I did want to put up here. If you're watching on the 365 Sports channel, YouTube channel, you see a graphic up that says Bumper Pool is out the first half for a targeting call. TK, when you have your heart and soul of your defense, a guy who's been around forever, senior leader there in Bumper Pool, just how big is that to not have that against especially a talented running back like Bijan Robinson?
Well, it's huge because you said it. He's been there a while. He's got a lot of experience behind him. But the biggest thing is that he plays with so much energy that that early on in the game, that could be missed. But he's got a guy behind him, Jalen Catalon, that is a freak to me. Two picks last week, and this guy can play, bro. This safety can play football. He's a sideline to sideline guy, just like Bumper Pool. So hopefully his energy carries them through the first half and, allows Bumper to get back in there and to carry him home.
Yeah, Kyle alluded to it. You know, Hudson Card, it's his first road start, young quarterback, and that DWR crowd there in Fayetteville is going to be jumping. TK, you've played there. You know what it's like for a good Arkansas team to they come out and support their fans because, you know, people don't realize, you know, they're basically like the pro team there. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. There is no fighting between, you know, for fan base. It's like one state collected behind there. So, you know, you look right here, some of the matchups that I'm intrigued by, like you said, Jalen Catalon is going to be kind of patrolling that secondary back there. Texas's main target, Hudson Carr's favorite target, the first matchup was Jordan Whittington, 7 receptions, 113 yards. And then, of course, Bijan Robinson, a total of 24 touches for 176 yards and two touchdowns against a very good, very well-coached Louisiana Lafayette team with Billy Napier.
Yeah, he had the opportunity to watch some film on Bijan too, bro. He's probably the most put-together back in the nation, I think. Both running and catching out of the backfield, he's elusive. He'll run you over.
Only a sophomore, too.
Yeah, he'll do it all. He's special. So I'm definitely 100% excited to watch him. Man, I was excited to watch him and Bumper Pool go at it right off the go, but I guess we'll have to wait on that. But
how juiced up do you think Bumper Pool's going to be coming out of that halftime locker room?
Oh man, he gonna shoot. he gonna really run. He gonna be out there like Bobby Boucher.
That's it. So TK, you know, while we've got the graphic up here, we're going to go ahead and run through some stuff. Arkansas did trail 10-7 last week at half, but they got things together, 21 points in the fourth quarter. Texas really had control start to finish. Last time Texas beat Arkansas was 2008. Arkansas beat Texas in their last matchup in a bowl game in 2014. So, TK, it's time. Go ahead and lock in that pick. Who do you like for the Texas at Arkansas matchup?
Jeez. Well, knowing what we know, Bumper Pool's not going to be there. Bijan Robinson's a freak.
Oh, and before you make your pick, I forgot to mention one thing. One thing that Kyle mentioned, Dorian Gerald, their Jack defensive end who played 42 snaps in the Rice game, broke his leg this week during practice. So now Arkansas has gathered more depth under Sam Pittman with his recruiting and things like that. But still, when you lose a starter, an experienced guy like Dorian Gerald, and this guy's fought injury his whole career, and this appears to be one that's going to end his career, which is terrible. But what does that do to a team when you see a teammate like that go through such a not only a injury, but it looks like a career-ending injury?
Man, it's tough. That's tough for him. Prayers up to him for his physical injury and just his mental as well. But, man, that can either go one or two ways. You can either kind of rally around that and say, all right, let's do it for this guy, or you either feel bad and kind of the next man up doesn't step into that moment. But hopefully, you know, there's a guy wanting to step up, wanting to fill those big shoes that need to be filled. But again, with all those things, the odds stacked up against them, man, it's going to be tough for them, I think, to pull out of there. Only thing that might carry them through there is that Arkansas crowd and them pigs, yeah. Them pig sueys. So I ain't even going to do it to them. I'm staying at CC. Let's go Arkansas.
You go in Arkansas. Well, I guess I'm going to be in wrestling, TK, they have what they call baby faces are the good guys and the heels are the bad guys. I guess I'm going to be a heel. I think that Sark is going to outmatch the coaching staff over there at Arkansas in terms of defensively. I think that he's going to be able to scheme some things up. And I do think it's going to be a very tight game. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be close late. But I think guys like when you have a player like Bijan Robinson and then, you know, just being that Texas scheme overall. And the only thing that's going to save them, like you said, is one, the Arkansas crowd, or if KJ Jefferson really just becomes almost like a running back with his legs and ends up using a lot of that athleticism. But I'm going to split with you here and go Texas. Before we go to some of our other key matchups, TK, I do want to throw these other kind of cupcake matchups and just put our predictions out there on the record. I don't think anything's going to be crazy. I think Alabama's going to take care of Mercer. That's fair to say. I think that one's going to happen.
Yeah.
Auburn over Alabama State. LSU will beat McNeese. One that we're not going to highlight tremendously, TK, but this Mississippi State-NC State matchup, with Mississippi State being a 2.5-point underdog. We talked about it last week. Devin Leary comes back for NC State. He's a very mobile quarterback. He's able to do a lot of things. He had a broken leg last year. They just absolutely drubbed South Florida 45-0 in the opener. The only thing that worries me, TK, is I just don't know if Mississippi State can stop them. I think Mississippi State will be able to put up points, but that defense is horrendous.
Yeah, it's rough, man. Coach Leach obviously can score, but on the other side of that, you got to stop people, and I don't think it's going to happen. I'd have to go NC State.
Yeah, NC State for me too. Of course, Ole Miss over. We'll take Ole Miss over Austin Peay, and then South Florida is going to probably lose to Florida, even though that is at home. We mentioned South Florida lost 45-0 to NC State in week one. So give me Florida, even with the quarterback kind of controversy with Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson going on there.
Georgia. Is it a controversy?
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, they could use that to their, you know, to their advantage and play both of them, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it can for sure work out. A two quarterback system in college can definitely work out. I just don't know how it's going to play out if Anthony Richardson keeps running off, you know, ripping off 80-yard runs. I mean, I don't know how you keep him out of the lineup.
Yeah, he might be the guy then. He out here looking like Madden 04 Vic.
No doubt, no doubt. Now, UAB in Georgia, we do want to touch on this one just a little bit. JT Daniels dealing with some sort of, we don't know if it's an oblique, a rib, a core injury, something along those standards. But even if he does, even if he is out, which I think I anticipate him playing, but even if he is out, I think Georgia will overwhelm UAB in terms of their talent up front defensively and offensively. Expect Georgia to run the ball more effectively. They ran for, I mean, they ran for 121 yards against Clemson, which that's a good defense, and that's still a good total to put up against the Clemson
defense. And that's what we wanted to do.
That's it.
So,
that's,
so like, you can't, you, people look at that and they're like, damn, your offense didn't do it. I know we wanted to run the ball now. Like, we wanted to run the ball. So, I think we did well running the ball against Clemson, and I think that we'll do the same against UAB. Even if they stack the box like they may, I think we'll still be able to run the ball. And like I said earlier in the week, these are the games that the opportunities out wide will be there. So hopefully those guys will get more opportunities, make explosive plays down the field, whether it's JT, Carson Beck, Brock, or Stetson Bennett.
The mailman.
Whether it's either one of them, I think that there'll be more opportunities down the field.
Yeah, so when a safety has to come into the box, we know that that leaves those shot opportunities. You'll see that out of Georgia. Georgia over UAB, we'll call that one. And then the only other game that's not one of our feature matchups here is the Vanderbilt-Colorado State game. I don't care if it's David Pollack's 12U team that they're talking about.
They're nice, though.
They are nice.
Yeah, they're nice.
North Oconee Titans. Yeah. I take the North Oconee Titans 12U team over Vanderbilt right now. You lose 23-3 over East Tennessee State. We've already started our petition. I think they should be kicked out of the league. But I'm taking the Rams of Colorado State.
Yeah, I'm going with Colorado State as well.
Hey, who knows? Maybe they'll pull like a Rudy or something, you know, and come around and play better. But, I mean, Vanderbilt's got a long, long way to go. So, TK, that leads us into our final three matchups, the other three key matchups we had. South Carolina traveling to ECU as a two-point road underdog. Then, of course, you have Tennessee is a three-point home underdog to Pittsburgh. That's a 12 o'clock kickoff. And then also you have Missouri traveling to Kentucky, a interconference matchup here, an SEC East matchup, and Kentucky's 5.5-point favorite. And we're going to touch on those here in just a minute after this word from playactionpools.com. Guys, our pod is excited to be partnering with playactionpools.com this season to bring some interactive fun to the sport we love the most. You'll be able to get in the action with our playactionpools.com football pick'em challenge, which is open to everyone. Here's how it works, guys. Sign up for the contest, Believe Football Pick'em at playactionpools.com, and then get your picks in each week. We're going to select 10 highest profile games of the week between NFL and college. Whoever gets the most picks correct, you win win some exciting prizes, things like the electric sunglasses, the pair of DC shoes, all that kind of stuff. Again, go to playactionpools.com, sign up for the contest, Believe, that's B-L-E-A-V, football pick 'em. And if you plan on hosting your own pools and things like that, you can also go over there and do that today. They've got Survivor pick 'em, as well as sports style, build your own bankroll type pools, guys. So playactionpools.com, your home for all your office sports pools. So thanks to playactionpools.com. And now to get to one of our key matchups here, and throw it on the screen if you're watching along on the 365 Sports YouTube channel, guys. By the way, if you don't already, subscribe to the YouTube channel so you get all of our videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Go ahead and hit that notification button. That helps out as well. Throw us a like if you're watching right now. And, comments. We love the feedback, guys. So also Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Just search Second to None and we'll be there. And so, TK, we've got a matchup here with an SEC team traveling over to play against the ECU Pirates, and they're actually an underdog in this one on the road. I think Vegas may have made a little bit of a mistake setting this line because they, I don't think they knew that Kevin Harris, the leading rusher from the SEC last year, and remember, it was only a 10-game season, and my man threw up 11, 38, and 15 touchdowns in 2020. So that's a big return for them. They don't know if Zeb Nolan is going to be the quarterback or if Luke Doty is going to return from his foot injury that he sustained in camp. Shane Beamer is kind of keeping everybody in the dark on that. And on the flip side, ECU is going to be hungry to kind of avenge that opening week flop they had against App State, you know, a team that they're really, you know, always competitive with. And they lost 33-18, allowed 495 yards, TK. That ECU defense got torched. They're 5-14 all time versus South Carolina. But they do have a big time quarterback in Holton Ahlers, a lefty that is starting his 32nd game at ECU. You know, 6'3, probably 235. I mean, almost a Tebow looking type of quarterback. And you know, over 7,000 career passing yards. So when you hear all that, you see all that kind of stuff, TK, what are you thinking going into this matchup?
Well, the two biggest things that jump out at me is that ECU defense giving up 495 yards of offense and 226 of it being on the ground. And obviously Kevin Harris coming back. When you can throw up 1,100 yards and 15 tugs and
a 10-game seat, all SEC.
In 10 games, you're doing something. So that's something to look at there. I think they'll be able to run the ball. And if you look more at the stats, look at what Zeb Nolan did, 13 for 22, 121 yards, 4 TDs. Yeah, he had 4 tuggies, but they were pretty close to the goal line. So they were able to run the ball last week as well. So expect them to be able to run it this week for sure. I'm taking South Carolina. I think Vegas gave them ECU the points because they were at home. I'm taking South Carolina. Whether Zeb's out there or Luke Doty gets the nod, I'm going with the Gamecocks.
Yeah, and I think that definitely it's going to be a good environment there at ECU. Shane Beamer said so in his conference, you know, in his press conferences this week. He said, hey, ECU, he said, I've coached against ECU, and I've also coached in the Big 12 and been to some of those places. And he said ECU's got a good atmosphere. He said it'll be a rocking environment. But I do agree with you. I think South Carolina is going to be just bigger and more physical up front. They had some issues run blocking maybe in the first week, even though they just tore through Eastern Illinois. But, you know, TK, sometimes even though you blow a team out, you come watch that film and you're like, oh, we didn't do some things so good. So there's still going to be some improvement week one to week two for South Carolina. Somebody the Gamecock fans out there do need to keep an eye on is Keaton Mitchell for East Carolina. Buddy can fly. He's a straight track star, and you know he's one of the fastest players that South Carolina will face this season, even in their SEC schedule. I mean, he's that 4.3, 4.4 type burner. And plays running back there for ECU. But even with that and even with some good players, I like Holton Ahlers a lot. I'm going to have to go with South Carolina as well. So that's the South Carolina and East Tennessee matchup. Now we're going to touch on Pittsburgh going down to Knoxville. And this is a matchup that is really intriguing to me, TK. You have really a dichotomy here. I call it experience and kind of a set culture over there in Pittsburgh versus the new era of Tennessee. You know, when you're looking at this Pittsburgh team, they were one thing that jumps out to me right off the bat is that Pat Narduzzi is a hard-nosed football coach, and his team was number 3 in the country. You can see right there, 3rd in FBS in rush defense in 2020. They only allowed 2.7 yards per carry. I think only 90-something yards a game. TK, the only two defenses that were better than them in 2020 at stopping the run, Georgia and Texas A&M. So that tells you right there that it's going to be a hard-fought matchup along the front. Now, they do only return one starter on that defensive line, but they return a lot of the linebacking core, a couple of DBs. So still 6 starters returning on defense for Pittsburgh. So they do have some experience and some depth that they build behind those starters last year. Also, the offense was efficient in their first win versus UMass, 51-7 over UMass. Kenny Pickett, senior quarterback, 27-37, 272, two touchdowns. Four players for Pittsburgh had four plus receptions. So they really did a good job of spreading the ball around.
That's a fun day.
That is a fun day. And then TK, you know, I'll let you kind of run through Tennessee there. Look at some of those numbers, man. Just tell them what they did rushing the football.
Man, Tyon Evans, 120 with 120 rushing yards. Jabari Small, 117 rushing yards. And Joe Milton had 44 rushing yards. I think he had a long one that was called back. Now, my thing is, if they can – Pitt, obviously, has SEC caliber type defense, you know. If they can make Tennessee one-dimensional – then
it'll be a long day for the Vols.
Sir, it could be trouble because that's what Joe Milton struggled with. And I don't looking at the tape from last week, I don't necessarily think it was all on him. I think it was some miscues here and there with his receivers, but that's some things that they got to get down within a short period of time. But man, if Pitt can make these guys one-dimensional, it's going to be a struggle, brother. I'm telling you.
Yeah, Joe Milton has. There's no question his arm strength. He can fit it in tight windows at because of his arm strength. But just the pinpoint accuracy, some of the ball placement hasn't been there at times. He was a 59% type, completion percentage guy at Michigan. Had a similar deal here at Tennessee. So they really want him to be more accurate with the football. But Joe Milton can for sure run. And I will say the SEC speed. And Joe Milton is a little bit different than that ACC speed. We know that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So same goes for Pitt. They didn't play anybody. They didn't play – UMass wasn't running like Tennessee's going to be running for sure. But to that point, Joe Milton can throw the ball. He can throw the ball well. I think a lot of what he does is force it. I think he forces some things, and I think he did that last week on a couple. But I think that – again, I'm taking Pitt only because if they make it one-dimensional, I think it's going to be a struggle.
I'm taking Pitt because when you see up here, Tennessee, you know, they beat a Bowling Green team, but I think they really bogged down some, and I don't know that they're going to be able to go at that warp speed pace. Pat Narduzzi and his team were practicing this week. They had two GAs on the field, TK, where they were spotting the ball like every 7 seconds. So I think this defense is going to be prepared for that warp speed that Tennessee is going to try to run. And if they get a couple of three and outs and Kenny Pickett and company are able to capitalize on that, I don't know that Joe Milton and this offense right now are prepared to kind of come from behind a 14-20-point deficit right now. So I'm going to take Pitt on the road. And then our last game that we have to break down here, it's kind of our co game of the week with that Texas Arkansas game. Missouri in conference play coming to Kentucky. There's some really high expectations in Lexington this year, TK. A lot of people thinking that Kentucky will be the team that challenges Georgia the most for that SEC crown. We've talked about it before. Mark Stoops, it's an NFL developing program. They put six guys in the league last year, TK. They're returning 12 starters, seven of those on offense, and they have Will Levis, the transfer quarterback from Penn State that absolutely lit it up last week against UL Monroe. They had 564 yards of offense at Kentucky. That I don't know if that's happened in a while, TK. Mm-hmm. 8.42 yards per play, just to let you know how good that would be. If that was the final average for the year, comparing it to 2020, they would have been number four in the entire country last year. So, Kentucky really having an explosive start, but a lot of good things for Missouri as well. We slided them last week. We were picking them to get beat, but you said they would have got beat if Jim McElwain.
Yeah, they didn't have their coach, bro.
That's TK's excuse of why our prediction didn't come through. But Tyler Beatty, 25 carries for 203 yards, two Bills, TK. We've talked about that. That just doesn't happen. Right. You know, it doesn't matter who you're playing, really. 200 yards rushing is kind of a statistical anomaly nowadays, but 25 carries, 203 yards, and a touchdown. It's year two of the Eli Drinkwitz-Connor Bazelak combo there in Columbia, Missouri. 16 returning starters, 8 on offense, 8 on defense, so a very experienced team. But they allowed 475 yards of offense to that Central Michigan team. So, TK, having the background there, knowing all that, what do you think going into this Kentucky? Is 5.5 we talked about 5.5 points may not be enough on that spread. So, I think I know which way you might be leaning on this
one. Yeah, brother, you gave me a little bit of homework, and I was going to do it anyways because I said last week Kentucky's offense looked like a different offense. They looked like a different team. Will Levis. Just looking at the stats, I was like, what the heck's going on? So I had to dive in. And when I dove in, what I find, Josh Ali, receiver, good route runner, good hands, big play ability, always in the right spot. I think he's a guy that Will Levis finds a lot. But the guy that I want to talk about is Wandale Robinson, 5'10", 190. I cut the tape on, and the dude just makes plays. They put him in the backfield. They put him at receiver. He's special. You can put him anywhere, but wherever you put him, plays are going to be made. He's one of those cats that makes that one cut and is out of there. So I think that Will Levis has weapons. I think that Missouri has some issues out wide, really. So I think that Kentucky puts it on Mizzou, really.
So not even close in the SEC opener, you don't think?
Yeah, I think they put it on them. I mean, there's – I think they put it on them, bro. I can't even.
I think Missouri's hope would have to be that Tyler Beatty is able to take over this game once again and they're able to really run the football well. Because, like I think you said, that Connor Bazelak, I don't know that he's got just a great rapport with his guys on the outside yet right now, even though – there's 8 returning starters, but still, I just think that Tyler Beatty is kind of the heart and soul of what Missouri has going on there offensively, and that Mark Stoops defense is hard to run on. It is not easy sledding. You saw that last couple years with Georgia even going up against them. I mean, it's a good, well-coached defensive front. They always have talented linebackers that can go sideline to sideline and make plays. I like Kentucky as well, and give them to me big. I think it's for a 14 or 17 point game, Kentucky in the Bluegrass State. And I do believe that, you know, a lot of people are right in thinking that Kentucky could end up being the biggest challenge of the year remaining for Georgia.
I mean, I could definitely see that, sitting at this point right now. I mean, obviously it's week one, but you could obviously throw Auburn in there. They looked really good. You could throw a lot of people in there. And in this league, bro, everybody does this, gets better every week. So there's no telling who that could be, man. But right now I think Kentucky is rolling. I think they've got something special in the people that they put around Will Levis and Wandale Robinson and Josh Ali. Jalen Carlisle at Mizzou is a safety. The played corner that's been in that system a while that I think will have his hands full.
With those two.
He's great. I mean, I watched tape on him too. He covers the field. He sits back and he roams the field and controls the field, reads plays, breaks up on east and west. And he prides himself on that using his speed. So hopefully, man, hopefully he can do that and make some plays, but I don't think he alone will be enough.
I know we both like Kentucky. Where would you maybe rank right now, Wandale Robinson, you think, in terms of SEC wide receivers?
Hey man, he's up there, bro. I
know you got John Metchie at Alabama. I mean, is he entering into Metchie territory in terms of how explosive and athletic he is?
Well, yeah. I mean, just the thing about him is how good he is with the ball in his hands, which is why they I think he was in Nebraska. Which is why Nebraska, they put him in the backfield, tried to get the ball in his hands quick. They would hand it to the kid. So he's a special type of player, man. I definitely have him up there. He's a top 5 receiver in this league. I think he'll end up being a top 5 receiver in this league at the end of the year for sure. Maybe top 3.
Well, there you have it, guys. It's a lock-in Friday. We've given you all of our picks here in the key games. We're going to go – TK's going with Arkansas. I'm going with Texas. We both like South Carolina. We both like Pitt to beat Tennessee, and we're both going to take Kentucky at home. So this has been your Lock-In Friday edition of the Second to None podcast. Catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday, we'll have reaction to this week two. And then Wednesday, we start to look ahead to week three, tell you what the spreads are, tell you what Vegas is thinking, why that is, that kind of stuff. And then on next Friday, we'll also give you our picks and try to have another quality guest for you here on the Second Gun Podcast. TK, I appreciate you, you know, playing a little road game here, being able to get in on the road, battling the sun for us. I mean, all
This Denver
all kinds
sun.
Of adversity, and you're just fighting through it. I appreciate that.
That's what I do, baby. I just try to come out on top for my people.
That's it. Well, for Tavares King, I'm Blaine Gilmer. This has been the Second to None podcast presented by Bet Online and Play Action Pools on the Believe Podcast Network and 365 Sports YouTube channel, and we will catch you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.